such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. I am Father Anthony, I'm your brother, and I share with you the kingdom and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. We're going to speak today about prayer. And so I think it's most appropriate that we begin with prayer, as we do always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin most venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin most renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin most merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin most faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of justice,
pray for us.
Seat of wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of honor,
pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of ivory,
pray for us.
House of gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of heaven,
pray for us.
Morning star,
pray for us.
Health of the sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of angels,
pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of Apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of Martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of Confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of Virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of All Saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. Amen. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. Welcome, everybody. Do you know why we pray often the triple prayer?
The triple prayer,
like, O Mary conceived without sin, O Mary conceived without sin, O Mary conceived without sin. We
why?
Do this a lot. I think it's, interestingly, I think even the repetition in our mm-hmm. prayer, because I've, you know, many would say, non-Catholics would say, well, you know, Jesus said, multiply not your words, you know, it's, and so the accusation is, you know, we repeat prayers, we have the seven prayers repeated or nine prayers, the novena or the triple prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Often, you know, we glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. We repeat that three times. It's like a saturation, mm-hmm. to be saturated, because we know that by nature we're distracted, and and what's interesting too is often you may hear criticism, well, you know, that our prayers are not only repetitious, mm-hmm. but they're formula prayers, right? They're formula prayers. Well, Jesus taught us.
Right.
When the apostles asked him, you know, teach us to pray, he taught them a prayer that we've been praying now for 2,000 years. That's I'm going to share a little bit of a reflection by Saint Cyprian on this prayer, the Our Father, the Lord. We call it the Lord's Prayer because that's mm-hmm. the prayer that He gave us. So that's a formula prayer, you know. And in that prayer, that prayer contains everything. But I think the repetition is that, like for instance, let's say we pray the Rosary or the Litany. You know, right. The Litany is there's a repetition, but it's to get us in the again, by nature, we're very distracted. And this is one of the things that most people will complain about in their own prayer life, is that they get distracted. It's very hard for them to keep focused. We're, by nature, distracted by many things, our thoughts, the things around us. And so the prayer, the repetition in prayer helps us to saturate ourselves with the prayer, to, if we deviate, get distracted, our thoughts kind of begin to roam, we're drawn back into the prayer. But I suggest that because I think that's...
It's funny you should say that, because I had a hard time praying the rosary. And it's not that I had a hard time. It's I always felt, how do I get this done real quick?
Right.
So there's moments, because I'm doing two or three things at once sometimes, and I've learned even with adoration, if you take the time to just say, okay, I'm giving you, or I'm taking this 10 minutes, and I'm going to sit with God for 10 minutes, okay? That maybe, that's what kind of that's what brought me in a better, but even now when I pray, and I've noticed this about the rosary, because it was so hard for me, I used to do things like this, where I would have music, things on in the background, and I would think to myself, Lord, I'm going to try to focus just on the prayer, but have everything in the background, so it kind of makes me
create the ambiance.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I found myself, it worked for a while, because it was hard for me to stop one thing to do the prayers. But now I've noticed that if I go ahead, and even if I have noise in the background low, but I hear my voice when I say the prayers, just like the litany right now, my mind wanders, but hearing the prayer over and over centers me, and it makes me, honestly, it makes me now. And I don't know if, I wish I could tell people, hey, it'll happen after 100 rosaries. But for me, I've just noticed that lately, within probably the last few months, that I almost go into a calmness. There's a presence. There's I don't know how to. It just. But by my words and the repeating,
that's called contemplation.
And I guess that's what is actually happening with me, because there are moments too when all kinds of things flood into my mind, and not bad things. And I think about people that ask for prayers, or people in general that I haven't seen, I get that. Okay, you're in my mind, so I pray. And it's just that it's a beautiful kind of, it's like a, I don't want to say hypnotic, but it's a setting that just makes me want to continue prayer. And
sure,
there's moments that I've even gone further than the 5 decades. I've just kept going on.
Yeah, that's contemplation. I mean, people sometimes they don't, we always have to always keep in mind that we're in the exile.
Yeah.
We're not home. And so there is, prayer is a work. It's we have to be intentional about our prayer. But it's initially, because we've got to enter into, and you think about this with anybody you want to befriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit awkward in the beginning, right? Because not in all cases, sometimes there's just people just kind of click, right? Something happens, they just click. But there's always you see somebody you really want to know for whatever reason, and it can be a little bit awkward, and it takes effort. If you don't take the effort to get to know that person, you're not going to get to know that person, right? And so even in prayer, initially it is it can be kind of awkward, because think about how many people are actually embarrassed to lead a prayer or to even say a prayer, to lead. And our kids in the school, they're very beautiful, because that's why you get to talk. You start when they're young, so that they're comfortable with the prayer. Otherwise, if you get older and you've never had that and nobody has set the example, it can be rather awkward. And some people are just kind of shy about it, or they just don't, or they're just they're uncomfortable with God, with God, or they've got all these preconceived notions that if I pray, that means people are going to think I'm, you know, really really holy person, and and that is embarrassing to them. For what reason? Because I guess we have all kind of misconceived notions of what it means to be holy, what it means to be sanctified, what it means to be close to God. To be close to God is to, and that's where prayer is, how we nurture intimacy with God. It's we have to choose to be receptive, to be open to the inner working of God's Spirit. And so, in the beginning, yes, it's you get to develop a certain discipline, set out a specific period of time where you, in an intentional way, You're going to give this time to God. This is the time I give to God. I want and to think that it's not to placate God, but it's because I want to know God. I want to know God. I want a relationship with God, and it doesn't take long, really, because that's the same thing God wants. I mean, that's really the Lord's will for all of us, is He wants to enter into relationship, into communion with us. That's why He gives Himself in communion, and Holy Communion is coming into communion with God. That we have something very, 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 very tangible: His body, His blood, His soul, and divinity. But the but what you describe is really coming into contemplation, where you let's say it begins with vocal prayer, mm-hmm. right? We learn to pray vocal prayer. So Jesus taught us a vocal prayer. When the disciples, they said, you know, teach us how to pray. And He said, well, here's when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from all evil. So He gave us those seven petitions. We've talked about it many times on the radio. But that's a vocal prayer, and we learn that's one of the first prayers we learn as little children. And it, so much so that, you know, we're praying it, we're not even thinking about what we're praying, right?
Yep.
It's just like when you come into the church and you bless yourself with the holy water. When you first learn that, it's quite spectacular, I think. And then
it's funny you say that, because still at the end of Mass, I'm always dipping my
hand. I know we got to see when they're going to change that. Yeah. That's just really.
I've just found myself lately doing that.
Yeah, we got to bring that water back, the holy water.
Yeah.
Because it is, but to think we have to be, again, to be intentional about what we're doing, so that it doesn't become the, we're just, you know, like you're blessing yourself with the holy water as you're talking to your wife or your mm-hmm. husband, or as you're greeting somebody as you're walking in the church. Oh, hi, how you doing? And you're making the sign. You know, we've got to. But it all begins in mm-hmm. in these kind of actions. You know, vocal prayer, actions with the body, the making the sign of the cross, the genuflecting, and all that. And we've just got to be conscious about that. So. The vocal prayers, usually things begin with vocal prayer. The hope is that, you know, even, and there are some people who have this. I spoke to a young man yesterday, and he just, it was really quite fascinating to listen to him, but he's always been close to God. He's always had this this intuitive sense that God was with him, that God was watching over him, and even if his life didn't, you know, things didn't go right or whatever, he continued to nurture that relationship with God. So it's wanting to, you know, to be intent on wanting to know God. And some people have that again, that intuitive sense that somehow God is with me. Now I think to overtly reject God is oftentimes to reject. It's I don't want the discipline of the faith, or I don't want to be bound to the commandments of God, or I don't want to be held responsible for this relationship. And so I opt out of the relationship and I go the way of the world, because the world is, again, the devil is very seductive and deceptive, and he creates the illusion. You really don't need God. This is all a fantasy. This is, when Jesus says, be like the little children, he didn't say, to be childish, but to be open to wonder at the majesty, the marvel of God, the mystery of God. And so, in any case, the vocal prayer becomes, then we enter into this prayer of meditation where we think about the things of God, Scripture. We think about what we're reading, and in that thinking, we've got to, kind of enter into the story. In other words, don't. To not see ourselves as removed from Christ. That's why I tell the students, and I've probably said that on the radio too, it's the characters of Scripture are not frozen in the pages of sacred Scripture. God is not frozen. He's not, we don't relegate him to the catechism book or just to the Bible, but he remains with us. He wants to abide within us. The Blessed Virgin Mary is not frozen in the pages of sacred Scripture or in the pages of the catechism book. So somebody can know all about, they can study and know all about the faith, but not have any relationship whatsoever to the faith or to Christ or to Our Lady or to the saints or to the apostles or whatever. But as we begin to, put ourselves in the story, and realize that story is being rewritten in every generation. And I think this is what's so fantastic about our faith is that it is an adventure, and we are in the exile. So there is a sense that we're being led through the desert, or we're being taken to the top of the mountain, or. But getting into the story and beginning to, as Jesus is calling the disciples to realize, okay, that I'm by virtue of baptism, I am a disciple. We are all disciples. We have to be again receptive and open to that, and not only wait, but seek God, this mutual quest. And so we begin to enter into this relationship, and as we do, and even when we go to pray, and this is, I think, the point you're making, is that you give 10 minutes to prayer, you're distracted, you feel like you're not focused. Is there really a God out there? Does somebody really hear me? Is somebody really with me? We're in the exile, but we have to be on that quest. This is something in the deep recesses of the soul compels me to seek God out. And again, we've got so much to fall back on. We've got 4,000 years of history from the time of Abraham to the present. But as we begin to remain there in the presence of God, and most especially in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, because that's truly Jesus remains with us in a very sublime, the sublime mystery of our faith, that he remains with us under the hidden guise of bread and wine. And so to be in the presence, to place ourselves before the Lord in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, and just, as Scripture says so wisely, be still and know that I am God. Or, here I am, Lord. I mentioned this at this funeral the other day, that, and I might have told the story, and maybe I even told it Tuesday, I don't know, but there was a sister, I think it might have been Sister Susan, the former principal, going back many years, but would tell the students about the story of this little boy, Johnny. I don't know if you've ever heard me say this. So Johnny, the sister said, whenever you go by the church, Christ is present in the church, in the Blessed Sacrament, in the tabernacle. And so, and it used to be the custom that men would tip their hats, you know, when they wore hats, or they would take their hats off, or you'd make the sign of the cross as you drive by a church, because God is present in his unique way in the Blessed Sacrament, the hidden guise of God in the Blessed Sacrament, in the tabernacle. So this this child, Johnny, he every time he would, in the days when kids would be riding their bikes and all that, you know, so he, every time we would pass the church, he'd stop, and at a time when the doors were always open, like our church is always open. I just love it. I think it's just beautiful. But in those days when churches were generally, they were always open, I remember that as a small child. And so every time he would pass the church, he'd get off his bike, and he'd open the door and just say, hello, Jesus, it's Johnny, I'm here. And then he'd get back on his bike. But every time he did that, he would always make it a point to open the door, go in, and just say, hi, Jesus, hi. It's Johnny, I'm here, you know. And so as the story goes, you know, as a man, he was hit by a car, and people, you know, were gathered around him. He was dying on the street. And as the story goes, I mean, it may be again, is what the sister said. As the story goes, the people, as they were watching him, he was dying, and all of a sudden, this voice was heard saying, "Hi, Johnny, it's Jesus. I'm here." You know.
Oh.
But it's a little bit of a parable, right?
Right.
That we come to this realization that God really does know us, and we have to accept the exile of life, that we're on the way. But to come to that point in our life of prayer where where prayer is, as Jesus said, you pray unceasingly, pray constantly. And so we have formal prayer, and even in the formal prayer, if we're distracted, we're not disturbed by the fact that we're being distracted, because we know we're in the presence of God. Even if you're not before the Blessed Sacrament, but if you're in your car and you're praying the rosary, or you're just, you know, to just think about God. I know that I'm always, it's God is always on my mind. It doesn't mean that I'm actually formally praying, but I'm constantly talking to God. So I call that prayer, but it's like, you know, Jesus, show me the way, or I say, Lord, I'm so tired, or can you just get me through this day, or you know, help me with, I'm really impatient right now, you know, I need you, you know, it's just, but to know that you're not alone.
In that, then you take God with you all the time, and that's what I've been trying. That's why I like this Lent. I like this because, I mean, for many years now, I've been trying to just walk with Jesus, so to say. I mean, it's easy to say, but when you think, okay, I'm walking with you, then if I'm walking with you, then I should be thinking about you. I should be talking to you. I should be praying. You know, I should be, you know, just contemplating, you know, just the experience. I mean, it's just, it's like anything, anyone you have a relationship with. Right. I mean, of course, a husband, a wife, you know, a good friend, you stay in contact. It's when you are not in contact anymore, then it's like things are not, you know, you don't know what's going on. I kind of like to look at it that way, as this, you know, I'm walking with you. I want to.
Or take the example of, now you're married, and so, and this would be the case in friendship and all that, when you can be with somebody and you don't have to say anything.
Right.
You know, and that's a good sign, you know, that, whereas, you know, early on in a relationship, there's a lot of talk. You got
to... Trying to impress, trying to understand, to know.
If you just sit there in silence, you know, people are uncomfortable. But but we have to get to that point where we can be comfortable with God in silence, where I can just be in the presence of God. I know God... When I go to my chapel, and I spend a lot of time in my chapel, thank God it's right next to my office. And so oftentimes I'm going back and forth. But if I need a respite, from the office, or I'll go to the chapel, and I love that chapel. And it's not that I feel like I have to get on my knees, and in fact, I have a little desk, a little tiny desk there where I can, you know, do reading and, you know, put writing and all that. I try to write my letters there and all that. And so, but it's just, you know, just being there. It's just like, it's kind of like that, like little, like Johnny, but I'm there. It's just like, okay, Jesus, I'm here. And even knowing that the Lord is there, and then oftentimes wondering, you know, because I have the advantage, I can expose the Blessed Sacrament for myself, right? And normally I do. Sometimes if I, like just before I came down to the radio, I didn't have time, so I just wanted to go in there and just spend some time before. And I actually the other day I saw Father Tom Akois yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was in the chapel. When I wanted to go to the chapel, he was in the chapel, so I had to wait. But it was nice to see him.
It is interesting, too, because I remember, you know, years ago when you were trying to talk to all of us about adoration, I used to think, oh, well, you know, I come to church, that's enough. And when I'm at home, I'm always thinking about Jesus. I'm always trying to talk to Jesus. But then I thought to myself, it took me a while for your words to sink in. And then once I started thinking, you can't really do it at home. I mean, if you can. I don't want to say you can't, but there is something special about, and this is what I used to do because I work at night. So for me, I considered it a pilgrimage in a way.
Right.
And I was tired after work, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and I would find my way here. And there's something about coming in to the church when it's silent.
Right.
And you don't really have to say anything.
You don't have to.
There's moments when I wanted to say my rosary, I wanted to say my, you know, prayers, I wanted to tell Jesus I'm here, but there was moments when I could just sit there.
Right.
And that is an experience that I don't think you can really tell people. People have to experience this. That's why for me, as I heard you say this so often at Mass, and how I would think, okay, well, I do this at home. I have my little place at home, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, if you take it upon yourself sometimes or as many times, and I hear this from people too, they're going to work, back and forth from work, they have to stop in for a little bit. Sometimes 10 minutes becomes 20 minutes, becomes an hour. And that's another thing you used to say. And there has been moments when I have come into the Mass or, you know, to sit in adoration and an hour goes by, 2 hours go. I mean, just time disappears. You're there. And I think you're there in the presence of God. I
right.
thoroughly believe that. I mean, I've had moments where all through my life, and not only in a church, where I've felt the presence of God. But there is something special about when you take and make the effort, as little as it is, and that's the way
right.
I used to look
exactly.
at it, as little as it is, 10 minutes or just going, taking the, you know, the time to come here,
right.
which might be, in your experience, a great sacrifice. But sitting there, and then that's when I started to start saying to myself, my God.
Right.
You know,
my God,
so
right.
little of me.
My Lord and my God.
Right.
It's that's is so true. And somebody told me, you know, it's because I would often say, you know, give God an hour. Like Jesus
yeah.
says, give me an hour of your time to Peter, James, and John, accompany me in this this agony as he went into the garden and they fell asleep. And he said, well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh mm-hmm. is weak. Somebody told me, they says, don't let people start with 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Five, which is what you're saying, 5 minutes.
And I used to hear it and say, I can't do 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's, it seems like an eternity for
right.
some people.
And it is, if you sit for 5 minutes and just be silent, it's not an easy thing. You learn how to do it.
Well, you know, see, the thing is, it's, you, again, this prayer, this walking with God, mm-hmm. Having given yourself to Christ, and this is the thing we have to decide: we're going to give our lives over to Jesus and hold nothing back. It's the beginning of a purgation, mm-hmm. a transformation, sanctification, because we don't realize all the idolatry that exists in our lives, and how many things get in the way. Mm-hmm. But when we begin to find this zone of comfort with God, that God is the driving force of my life, then, you know, as you're eating breakfast, you're drinking a cup of coffee, or you're going for a walk, or you're driving your car, or whatever it may be, it's you know, you find yourself again conscious of God. Not that you feel God, but you're conscious of God, because God is life, and we've learned to nurture this relationship, so that he's our only stability, and so you know, Christ, you know, it's not even like you have to think so much. It's just the consolation, even in desolation, even when you're experiencing desolation, which means, like, for instance, you're in the desert, or it seems like God seems very far away, but you learn to kind of wait, because this is part of the exile. So you can be that, you know, you can go on your porch in the morning, if you got a porch, and you can just sit and let that be a kind of a prayer time without having to be in any kind of real formal prayer. The rosary is just very beautiful. It's a formal prayer, but it's conducive to so many things. But also to know the uniqueness, as you said, the uniqueness of actually coming to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It's kind of the at the invitation of our Lord to go to the top of the mountain.
So for me too, I look at it more of a sacrifice. I mean, and many people don't want to hear sacrifice. Many people don't understand what sacrifice is. But to me, I mean, that I look at it as it's the least I can do. And when I started thinking that way, I started realizing, okay, well, the Lord asks so little of me.
Yeah.
And even the little I give, if you give it in the right frame, is much, is a sacrifice. That the little sacrifices of life that...
Right. You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this, too, that, you know, what really irritates me is when I see people who don't want to be... Let's say their mother, it's Mother's Day,
right,
and the mother drags all their children to the... You know,
kids don't want to be there.
What I want for Mother's Day, all I want is that we all go to Mass, and they come to Mass, and you can feel the... I can feel the, you know, you can tell when somebody doesn't want to be there, and it's kind of like if your mother prepares a dinner, and how hurtful it is when there are those who don't want to be there, and you feel the attitude, and it's better not to be here. If you don't want to be here, then don't be here. Now you can't really do that with kids, because you've got to teach them. This is what do you do? I try to tell the parents to, you know. When they say, you know, I don't want to go to church, you know, it's boring, you know, give them why do we go to Mass? Certainly because it's one of the commandments of God, it's the law of the church, but we go, principally speaking, in gratitude, to teach children gratitude, reverence, and respect, that God has redeemed us, God has given us life, God is sustaining us. Look at the blessings we've received. You know, the least we can do is to go in gratitude, and to teach them that we're going in gratitude. And then kind of build on that. We have to take a break, by the way. So, interesting. We are talking about prayer, right. So it's a kind of a But to me it's the most, one of the most beautiful things is I can't imagine how people can go through life and not think about God or pray to God, except perhaps in a crisis, or when they then want to placate God in order to get what they want, you know. And it just doesn't work that way. Anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night, for your safety. We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at sdstanschurch.org. That's sdstanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
This Lent, is there someone you need to forgive? Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen tells the story of one of the most exalted descriptions of forgiveness he had ever read, about a Russian bishop who was sentenced to death by communist authorities in Russia. His last prayer for his executioners was this: Heavenly Father, I offer up for the sins of these men and my own sins the death of your Son. But I also forgive my executioners as you forgive me. And so on Judgment Day, when these men stand before you, the angels will ask, what charge is brought against these men? There will be no one to charge them with guilt. They are already forgiven. Who do you need to forgive this Lent? I'm Jim Littleton, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. God love you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Now, I don't remember if we spoke about this or not, because I think I got to a certain point, and then we had to end. But this was last week, because we had pre-recorded the show. But the whole drama of prayer is revealed in Jesus Christ, the Word of God who became flesh and dwells among us. And this is from the Catechism. I think it's a very beautiful thing. We approach the Holy Jesus as Moses approached the burning bush. First, to contemplate Jesus in prayer. I say to contemplate. We were just talking about contemplation. Mm-hmm. But it's just to see Jesus in prayer. How did he pray? So to look, to look. It could be a sort of a meditation, but to contemplate is to actually get into sacred scripture and I think I shared this before, but this is it's easier for me to give examples. When I was in the Holy Land, and we were in the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest, which is right outside the gate of the holy city, and they had just done the excavations of the road that goes down into the Kidron Valley. Is it Kidron? Kedrid Valley. Anyway, the place where the foot of the mount, the hill of Mount of Olivet, and down there is the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where Jesus, after the Last Supper, he would have walked with his apostles down that road to the Garden of Gethsemane. And right outside the city gate was the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And so the excavations, I mean, years ago they uncovered the house, and so you could actually go in and see the place where Jesus was interrogated when he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I was, you couldn't go on the road because you could see it, but there was still excavations going on and nobody was permitted on that road. And I was completely fascinated by it because I thought, wow, this is the road that Jesus walked with the apostles, the 11 apostles, to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he died. And this is where he's perhaps sharing with them his farewell discourse. And so I wanted to, you know, we had to leave, but I wanted to get back over there. And so I went back. It was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was really beautifully bright, you know, blue sky, really bright outside, beautiful. And I just stayed in the court of Caiaphas, the house of Caiaphas. And I'm looking on this road, and I'm just thinking about Jesus walking down that road with the apostles. And then suddenly, and this is what it means to enter into prayer. It's as if everything became dark. It was nighttime. And actually then could, with the eyes of the soul, but I could actually now see Jesus and the apostles. And I just had this longing, this desire to get on the road with them. And in the prayers, and this is contemplation, I'm just meditating, thinking about it, but it's actually entering into the experience. And as they were walking, Jesus looked toward me, and he just nodded for me to come. He did not; no word was said. It was just a nod to come, and I went, and that's basically the story, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was this interior sense that the Lord invited me in because I have a rightful place in the company of the disciples, in the intimate company of Jesus Christ. And so I think this is something that if we can be open, you know, you hear one of the things that I said is there's a desire, there's a quest. So there's something in me that wanted to go back there. I was compelled. I want to go back there. I want to see. So this is a mutual quest, you know, we seeking God, God seeking us. And it happens in many, many ways. And I'll bet you sit down and you talk with people. In fact, I had somebody who, I've had many people who've said this, and I've said this before many times. One of the advantages to being a priest is that people feel comfortable. They're willing to share their story. And it's often, you know, they look around to say, make sure nobody else is around, that nobody's mm-hmm. hearing. And they open up about their own experience with Christ in prayer. And they would say, do you think this is a foolish, or is this a figment of my imagination, or what does God want from me, or whatever? And it's not a figment of your imagination. You're not foolish. It's to be open, but we have to begin by contemplating Jesus in prayer. And what we see in the life of Jesus is certainly the Blessed Mother, you know, taught him to pray, taught him. She, you know, there's the great things God has done for her. You know, she taught him the prayers of the formulas, the prayers, the Psalms, mm-hmm. and all that. He went to the synagogue in Nazareth. He went to the temple in Jerusalem. So he was taught. We did talk about this, didn't mm-hmm. we? I think we did talk about this. And when he was 12 years old, and they find him in the temple, and he says, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And but the scripture says that he was listening. He was listening to the teachers, you know. And of course, they were impressed with his answers. So there was an exchange, but the scripture clearly says he listened. He listened. And so there has to be this willingness to listen. Again, it's part of that quest to seek. And so he's coming to this this sense of his unique relationship to God, who is his Father. You know, and again, because this is he went back with them, and he grew in wisdom and knowledge and stature before God and before men. He prayed. You know, we see in the gospel he prayed during the baptism, right before his baptism, before the transfiguration, before the passion in the Garden of Gethsemane. In all these places, he prays. He prayed before he elected the apostles. The scripture says he departed to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God, and when day came, he called his disciples to himself and chose 12, whom he also called apostles. So he brought that to prayer, and you know, before he chose the apostles, before Peter's confession of him as the Christ of God, the scripture says once when Jesus was praying in solitude, and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And he prayed for Simon, Peter, right? Simon, I tell you, Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed that your own faith may not fail, and once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers. The disciples, seeing the Lord at prayer, they ask him, you know, "Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray." So they've contemplated Jesus in prayer. They've watched him pray. They've heard him pray. And as we all know, he often draws away, he draws apart. He goes into solitude at night on a mountain in the wilderness, in the desert, or rising very early before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. As we read in Mark's gospel, when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. The report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him to be cured of their ailments, but he would withdraw to the deserted places to pray, you know, because he's expending energy as well. And so we expend energy in life, and so how to regain that energy is to enter into prayer, right? Just to go and to say, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." I think that's one of the keys to prayer is, or as you mentioned with the rosary, that it become almost the backdrop to your prayer, yeah. You know. But it allows you to, you know, to reflect on, or people come to mind who I should pray for. You know, people are asking us to pray all the time for this or for that or for whatever. Can we remember all that? But when we take time to pray, it's amazing how the Spirit will move us, bring somebody into our mind, somebody into our heart. Maybe it's not even somebody that asked for our prayers, but all of a sudden this person out of nowhere comes into my heart. And so we automatically, we kind of intuitively know we're being moved by the Spirit to pray for that person, whatever might be, whatever the need may be. We don't know. God knows mm-hmm. what it is. Jesus prays. He gives prayers of praise and thanksgiving. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you've revealed them to the childlike. Yes, oh Father, it's been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. So come to me, you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. To find rest in prayer, you know. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. You know, this is the thing. Jesus says, you know, go, when you go to pray, just shut the door and be there. This is what I'm saying, rest in the presence of your Father. You know, in and through Jesus, we find this, in and through Jesus, but to the Father. And you don't need to say anything. He already knows. You know, we have to speak. You know, we're human beings. But there's a point we learn to trust and just to be just to be silent and to rest in the presence of God. Yes, we're carrying our crosses. We're burdened. We're tired. God, he says, I know it. So just be still and know that I am God. It comes right out of Scripture. Jesus thanks God in prayer before God. He says before he raised Lazarus from the dead. He says, "Father, I know that you always hear me." The implications that Jesus constantly made such petitions. He reveals to us how to ask in prayer, giving thanks before the gift is given. But the giver is more precious than the gift. God is all, you know. God is the giver of the gift. God is always the more precious. So the giver is the treasure. In the giver, in the Father, is the heart of the Son. And so in our heart, first and foremost, must be God. So it's not placating God to get what I want, but it's what is it that I really want, is I want relationship with you, O Lord. You know, as Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. So store up treasure in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be given you besides. So do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil. So there's something very beautiful about that and very liberating about that. Again, it's a way of saying, you know, don't fret so much. You know, be at peace. Because there's things we can't control, and we think that if we keep begging, and it's okay to beg God, you know, but there's a point where you learn, you know, that it's don't expend so much energy, just be at peace and place everything in God's hands. He knows that today we got suffering sufficient for this day. I'm with you. I'm going to get you through this. So stop it already, and that's what he says, enough already, worrying about tomorrow, and tomorrow hasn't even come, today has troubles enough of its own. I'm here with you, I'm going to get you through this day, and I'll be with you tomorrow, and I'll get you through tomorrow, and I'll be with you the next day, and I'll get you through the next day, all the way up until the day of your departure, you know, when you pass, that's right, from the cross, and my God, why hast thou forsaken me, Jesus Christ? That prayer, but into your hands I commend my spirit, and the Lord, the Father, God, will lift him up, and in lifting him up, he lifts all of us up. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deep or try?